Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This show is about what matters most in your life, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I will bring you the latest research about, I love this research, children told lies by parents subsequently lie more as adults and face adjustment difficulty. We all knew that, didn't we? But I still get people to defy this and say, oh, it's just a white lie. Oh, it's just a small lie. What else? I mean, I can't say anything to my children. I just have to redirect them this way. Now, I'm glad the research really shows just doesn't work. Then I'll speak to Ajang Zendadel. He's the founder of Dreamality Education and Coaching, and he teaches people how to achieve their potential and life and live. Your potential in life and live their dreams. You can call us on the studio line to speak to me or speak to Ajang Zendadel, and you can call on 951-922-3532. 951-922-3532. We would love to hear from you. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Share it with your friends. Go give it some rating. And I'd love to hear from you even after the show about what are the topics that you want us to talk about, the guests you want me to bring, and just chat with me, right? It's this heartfelt chat, whether you're on the phone with me on radio or you could have a heartfelt chat on the email and let me know what you want, right? We'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
So here's the tip of the week. This week, I've been working with how experiencing hardship, although it feels and seems so hard as one goes through it, ultimately builds major emotional and behavioral skills, which become a key factor for not only survival, but also creating a better and more efficient life. I was pondering on my own childhood and teen years, and I've been working this week with many of my clients who have gone through this type of hardship or their own version of hardship. Whether it was events that happened to them while they had no part in creating them, or it was an illness that came upon them, or they actually acted in a way that produced a painful result for them and they were suffering. Without a doubt, at a time of experiencing hardship, one might think, why me? Not fair. Shouldn't have happened to me. I didn't do anything to deserve this, or can't handle this. It's just too much for me, or other ways that kind of negative or limiting beliefs that we might have. Feelings of fear, sadness, grief, anger, anxiety, disappointment, powerlessness, helplessness, hopelessness, shame, and other emotions might be felt. Major avoiding or dismissive behaviors might be used automatically as self-defense mechanisms. However, side by side, courage and resiliency begin to operate and surface to support moving forward and overcome the meaning and the emotions felt. Usually, as time passes, you begin to assign new meaning and contain the emotions toward the acceptance of all that happened. You will see that what happened, although it affected your life in a negative way, it also enriched your life with major skills and extended the outlook that could benefit yours and other people's life. Go back and look. at the negative and even traumatizing events of your life and write down how you benefited from it. Write how they added to your life view, expanded your life view. See how the skills that you had to learn at the time is being used consistently for the betterment of your life. You will be amazed at your growth. While you're visualizing the past, remind the self that was then, that was going through the harsh ordeal. Doesn't matter how old it was. I want you to go back, remind that self, the one, the girl or the boy or however old you were, that you have survived it. You have learned the skills. You've gone through and you're okay right now. Nurture yourself, pat yourself on the back, acknowledge yourself for coming through and honor your growth. You deserve it. You made it through and you deserve to honor yourself. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the latest research.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back. Children told lies by parents subsequently lie more as adults and face adjustment difficulty. If you don't behave, I'll call the police is a lie that parents might use to get their young children to behave. Parents lie, elicit compliance in the short term, but a new psychology study led by Nanyang Technological University in Singapore suggests that they are associated with detrimental effects when the child becomes an adult. The research team asked 379 Singaporean young adults whether their parents lied to them when they were children. How much they lie to their parents now, and how well they adjust to adulthood challenges. Adults who reported being lied to more as children were more likely to report lying to their parents in their adulthood. They also said they faced greater difficulties in meeting psychological and social challenges. Adjustment difficulties include disruptiveness, conduct problems, experience of guilt and shame, as well as selfish and manipulative character. The research done in with collaboration with Canada's University of Toronto, the United States University of California, San Diego, and the China's Zhejiang Normal University was published in the Journal of Experimental Child Psychology in September 2019. Parenting by lying can seem to save time, especially when the real reason behind why parents want children to do something is complicated to explain. When parents tell children that honesty is the best policy, but display this honesty by lying, such a behavior can send conflicting messages to their children. Parents' dishonesty may eventually erode trust and promote dishonesty in children. It's not a may, I promise you, it's given. I've seen this so many times, especially when they become teenagers and adult. Guess what? They're not going to respect you at all when you kept lying to them. And right when you really want them to listen to you, you've already lost all of your credibility to them. The research suggests that parenting by lying is a practice that has negative consequences for children when they grow up. Parents should be aware of these potential downstream implications and consider alternatives to lying, such as acknowledging children's feelings, giving information so children know what to expect, offering choices and problem solving together, and to elicit good behavior from children. How this study was done. 379 Singaporean young adults completed four online questionnaires. First questionnaire asked participants to recall if their parents told them lies that related to eating, leaving, and or staying, children's misbehavior, and spending money. Some examples of such a lie is, if you don't come with me now, I will leave you here by yourself. And I didn't bring money with me today. We can come back another day. The second questionnaire asked participants to indicate how frequently as adults they lie to their parents. It asked about lies in relation to their activities and actions, pro-social lies, or lies intended to benefit others, and exaggerations about events. Lastly, participants filled in two questionnaires that measure their own self-report of psychosocial maladjustment and tendency to behave selfishly or impulsively. The analysis found that parenting by lying could place children at a greater risk of developing problems that the society frowns upon, such as aggression, rule-breaking, and intrusive behaviors. It's possible that a lie to assert the parent's power, such as saying, well, if you don't behave, we'll throw you in the ocean to feed the fish, and yes, people say that, may be more related to children's adjustment difficulties as adults compared to lies that target children's compliance, such as there's no more candy in the house. So authority assertion, especially done with dominance and producing fear, over children, is a form of psychological intrusiveness, which may undermine child's sense of autonomy and convey rejection and ultimately undermining children's emotional well-being. If you bully, let's put it this way, if you bully your child, guess what you're creating? A child that will be a bully. They will first bully others, and then at one point when they become teenager and they're a bit stronger physically and mentally with you, guess who you're going to bully back? You. Absolutely, they will. I have watched kids who come back and if you confront them, do you know what they will do? Give it right back to you. We'll confront you and say, well, I just learned it from the best and I learned it from you. Didn't you do that? And that's where I got it from. So I am so glad this research came out. This is something that we've been talking to parents, been talking to teachers, anyone who a child looks up to in order to get all of the value from. So keep your value. It's you that is going to create credibility for yourself in your relation. And knowing that all parents want the best for their children, lying is not one of them. So I hope that you practice other ways of just being direct with your child, and know that directness works. And if you do the hard work earlier, really, it pays off when they're a teenager. That I promise you. If you don't know how to talk to your children, get help. Go to therapy, go to family counseling, get help in how to actually talk to your kids. Maybe you never learned it. Maybe your parents lied to you. Maybe you just continue that as a habit. But trust me, if you wanted to change those type of generational patterns, you need to get help and learn. Good luck. So today, I'm so excited to have Ajang Zendadel on my show. I've known him for a long time. I've watched him grow from different places where he has been, and he's really tremendously gotten so many experiences from across the world and brought them together uniquely and created his own. And it's beautiful, because I just feel like that's what I did. So I love what people do that and bring, not only take what's out there, but they create something of their own out of what is all out there. So for more than 26 years, Ajang Zendadel has been training and researching in over 14 different disciplines to master the secret of success and fulfillment. Ajang has shared his discoveries with hundreds of thousands of people worldwide as executive producer and popular radio show, host of two shows on KRSI and KIRN 670 AM. For a combined 10 years, from 1997 to 2007, in addition to interviewing leading world experts and best-selling authors such as Dr. Deepak Chopra, moi, Dr. Fujian Zane, Carolyn Miss, Dr. John Gray, Dr. Brian Weiss, Don Millman, and others. He also coached listeners on live on air. Hey, maybe you guys can call and he can coach you on air right now, today. Now, in 2002, Ajang founded Dreamality Education Coaching Dreamality Education and Coaching to teach people how to achieve their potential and live their dreams. As president and head trainer of Dreamality, Ajang has created an innovative and proven step-by-step system for creating results, in all aspects of life. To do so, he has combined profound wisdom integrated from 14 disciplines and invented some of the most cutting-edge techniques in the world called precision transformation technology, including the revolutionary emotional transformation technique. Welcome to my show, Ajahn.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Fujian.
Of course.
I call you Fujian because I've known you for decades, but of course, Dr. Fujian's in.
Fujian is great, and yes, I've known you for decades. You're much younger than me, but I've known you for decades. I think I've known you when you were this little. I know you from right before you went into radio, and I remember, I'm like, my God, he has no way of speaking Farsi. And this was like, you had such chutzpah, and it's like, you just walked in, created it, and fumbled as you went through, and it's like, that was the game of mastery in how you just get in there with all your, you know, feet and hands and everything, just get in there and do it until like you master the damn thing, and you do that well.
Thank you, thank you. You know, the show is about 90% English, 10% Farsi. At first when I did it, I said, I'm only speaking English, and people would call in, please translate, please translate. I only have a third grade education in Farsi. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. It's okay if I make mistakes. And it is actually a win in not being perfectionistic. And it worked out. People loved it. They appreciated the mistakes too, which is amazing. And of course, now it's, the wheel turning. You were my guest on the show. And now I get to be a guest on your show, which is such an honor. You're doing such a fantastic job. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Ajahn and John. You know what you just said was so beautiful, because I think that people are very forgiving and open their heart and eyes and brain when they know that someone is really, really trying authentically to master any game.
Exactly.
And they're not fibbing, they're not bullshitting, they're real. And I think that's the beauty of what we, you know, what we see. So now you got to tell me all about all these exciting stuff, which I don't know about because I haven't been to your seminars, and, you know, obviously I don't know what's going on, but listen, you've created emotional transformation techniques. What is that?
Okay. So first of all, you deal with emotions all the time, right? When people have emotions, let's say anger, sadness, fear, different kinds of emotions, usually what they do is they either stuff it inside, they try to control it, or they dump it on someone else. So if they're feeling angry, they take it out on the person or even innocent bystanders. If they're really good, they have the emotion, they don't let it stop them, they move forward anyways. They have this, whatever the emotion, they just move forward, which usually means they're carrying it, but they move forward. And the most popular techniques out there right now are emotional management, at least that I'm aware of. For example, anger management is very famous. I think even a movie or a television series was made called Anger Management. I don't remember which. But it's very famous. Anger management, emotional management, which is great. You're managing the emotion. You're in charge of it. It's not in charge of you. But within the term is its limitations, because you're managing it. It doesn't mean the negative emotion is necessarily gone, right? It doesn't mean it's eliminated. So through personal experience, and as you mentioned, I've studied 14 different disciplines. You actually were my teacher in one of the seminars that I did, if you remember.
Yeah.
I just did a lot of different disciplines and seminars and worked on myself. Have had thousands of students myself. I realized that basically every major emotion has a certain structure to it, that it's preceded by a thought. So all our emotions come from our thoughts, whether conscious or subconscious. And those thought patterns have a general structure, and every major emotion has some major structure to it. Anger does, fear does, etc. So if you know the underlying structure and you undo it, you literally can undo that emotion, the negative emotion, and have a neutral or positive emotion instead. So emotional transformation techniques that I had the opportunity to create, they're very powerful, step-by-step, proprietary techniques, are basically a series of techniques and specific techniques for each of the major emotions. So there's anger into peace, which is specifically for anger and the whole family of anger, which is disappointment, frustration, irritation, hate. Sadness to joy, which is for the whole family of sadness, depression, grief, etc. Fear into power, which we'd love to talk about today. Actually, the focus of that this show is Fear to Power. Technique called decision-making protocol for making decisions, getting rid of doubt, confusion, and decisiveness. Technique for getting rid of habits. Self-mediation, as you know, I'm a certified mediator, so I applied it to the inner world, how to resolve inner conflicts, and so on and so forth, how to get rid of hurt, loneliness. So basically, it's very precise step-by-step techniques that I coach people, and then I teach them. So for the rest of their life, when they have that emotion, they go about through the process step-by-step. By the end of it, they either feel neutral or they feel in a positive state of being, happy, peaceful, powerful, etc. The negative emotion is literally is gone. They didn't. They're not managing it. They've transformed it. So that's basically what emotional transformation is.
So if I'm hearing you accurately, first is the acknowledgement of an emotion, naming the emotion, and then coaching them in order for them to look at the structure underneath the emotion, which shows up as a thought process. And then as you open up the structure of that thought process and seeing what is the nature of the structure of that particular emotion, then there's techniques you use as challenging and other techniques in order to shift the thought process and also the whole emotion all at the same time, because you're finding the whole structure of it. So when you shake it up, you can completely let go of all of that. And therefore, it becomes a transformation. It's not just managing it or avoiding it or shoving it down somewhere. It's truly kind of like shaking up the whole structure as it got created, and therefore it kind of like crumbles down.
Exactly. So you basically get rid of the underlying root pattern, the underlying thought pattern, consciously and subconsciously. The negative emotions goes with it. And so the person has anger towards someone, they do the process. At the end of it, they feel at peace. It takes some time to learn, but depending on the process, some are shorter or longer. Anger to peace, once you learn it, within 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 50, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on what the issue is, then you're at peace with the same person and situation. And it's so beautiful to see people go through the process, and I'm like, okay, now how do you feel about them? They're like, okay, I'm at peace. I'm like, great, that's anger to peace.
And so, of course, the more that you practice, the easier it becomes, the faster it goes.
And also you start preventing the emotion too, where there's actually, things that I teach so how to prevent it even. Exactly. Beautifully, beautifully re-summarized and given back.
Yeah, I figured, and you've done that also in your show, that when, especially when something is a little bit complex, if you say it a couple of times, and even I've heard about the research says about three times, when we hear it three times, maybe in different ways, that it finally kind of lands inside of us. So I try to come back and reframe what you say again, so that our listeners, our audience also starts picking them up, and then they start asking questions, and hopefully we can answer those questions as we go up.
Sure. So if you don't mind briefly, for example, I know this is not the topic, for example, anger into peace. Anger always comes from unmet expectations.
Sure.
Anyone's ever felt anger, if you look behind it, you've had an unmet expectation. Mm-hmm. So if you undo that expectation, the anger goes with it. Of course, it's much more to it than I'm saying. This is just a brief, part of it. But that's like an example. And then, of course, when we talk about fear to power, I can give more insight into that one, too.
And I'm also sensing, and we could do this, but I'm also sensing that some of it is the acknowledgement of it. Some of it is really realizing, for example, what expectation they are. But another part of it, which is really hard for people to let go, is the attachment that they also have and hold onto, that type of a concept. And I remember I had gone to study Sedona Technique. And I don't know if you had also gone to Sedona Technique or not. But it was really interesting that the teacher was talking to me and wanting me to guide me toward releasing some of the emotion and releasing some of the emotion that was, part of the pattern that I had with my attachment with my mother. And it was interesting of watching my own actions, which is everything logically made sense, but I was like, no.
Exactly.
I'm not letting go. And it, that part of the attachment that we also hold is very, very interesting, no matter what logic says. So I'm sure you also address that.
Exactly. What I've realized is that basically we have benefits that we get from having a certain emotion, consciously or subconsciously. We may not be aware. So for example, when we do anger to peace or fear into power, a whole part of it is actually speaking to the conscious and the subconscious mind. And to back up a little bit, for some people who may not know what I mean by the subconscious mind, the conscious mind is our conscious thoughts. The subconscious is about the, you know, different people have different percentages, 99-95% of the mind, where it's automatic thought patterns, emotions that's, you know, underneath the surface, like submarine, subconscious. So it's actually speaking to the conscious and subconscious mind. Why are you holding on to this emotion? What the benefit of it is, what the cost of it is, and what's a better way to get what you want? And once you do that, it's actually, it's an easy way to release and let go of that emotion once the person understands there's better ways to get their ultimate purpose met. So that's a general structure of a lot of what I do, and it works beautifully. And I also at the end check that the person has really embodied and taken in the new pattern, the new positive thought pattern or emotion. So it's not just an intellectual yes, it's an embodied, fully taken in pattern for their lives to live in as far as new thought pattern or emotion that's positive and effective.
Beautiful. So instead of giving our audience and listeners just a lot of abstract concept, what if I'll just give you a fear? And then you can work it. So everybody's listening and working toward it. Now, everybody who's listening and watching us, you find your own fear and do whatever Ajang is teaching and working and coaching with me. You apply it to yourself. Okay.
Now, let me say this. The fear into power technique that I teach takes about three and a half hours. So this in this time frame is not enough time to take you through a full process. What I am sharing is some fundamental principles. There's a lot more to it than I can do in this kind of time frame. Just to be clear as a preamble before we get into it. So what's your fear, Fujian?
Recently, it's been more of let me put it this way. I have this the desire, obviously, to expand on many layers of my career. And side by side, there's constantly this fear shows up about being seen, but also feeling responsible for whatever that I'm being seen as. So it's almost like if I have more shows, or if I get, you know, have more audience, or if I have all of that, then I feel fully responsible. And a fear shows up. And not that I'm not responsible now, but there's almost this thing of, oh, what if I can't hide? And it's because the desire to be seen and get, grand in the concept of having the ability to make a difference for people, side by side shows up with, what if I'm not doing good? What if I'm not great? What if I'm not grand? What if I harm somebody? What if? What if I'm just completely naked? What if somebody, you know, says something nasty and then, the social media gets and then I get attacked? So it's an interesting flip-flop of the desire and the fear.
Gotcha. So you actually mentioned multiple fears. So here's what I've experienced. Whenever someone has a fear, let's say they have fear of snakes, or they have fear of failure or rejection. Whatever the fear they say is only the surface. You really got to dig into all the layers of the fear and what the person is really afraid of. So you actually mentioned multiple things. It all goes under expansion, let's say. So it's a fear of expansion, right? So the question for you is, and again, this takes much longer, so we're going to do a simple version. What's going to happen? So let's take one of the things that you said. So what happens if people speak negatively about you on social media? Let's take one of the branches. What's going to happen?
It's humiliating. So it would be public humiliation.
So what happens? Got you. Perfect. What happens if you're publicly humiliated?
Immediately right now, sadness shows up and I want to go hide. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be judged. My emotions are sadness and shame. Shame shows up.
So shame and sadness. So what happens if you feel shame and sadness? Then what's going to happen?
I would isolate.
Okay. So you actually, you answered it. Actually, you know, I would go in more depth with you or someone else, but for now you actually gave a perfect answer. So.
Yay!
Good job. What you're actually really afraid of, Fujian, is shame and humiliation and sadness. That's what you're really, truly afraid of. The surface is people speak badly about me on social media. But the root fear is shame, sadness, humiliation. Now, I would actually, you know, if we were working one-on-one, I'd go in more depth to see if there's more layers to it. But basically, here's what I found. Any fear that someone has is a story they have about the future. If it's rejection, I'm going to get rejected, then I'm going to feel sad, and then people are not going to want to go out with me. And then people have stories, Fujian, that can go on for like, they can have like 30 levels or 50 levels of things that's going to happen. Like to the extent, no one's going to go out with me, I'm going to, you know, never be married, and I'll be miserable for the rest of my life. So they basically connected rejection with misery for the rest of my life. No wonder they're afraid. The fear, in my experience, is always a story we have about the future. And it's based on past experience that we've had, or we've seen other people go through things that have happened. And then we create a story in our minds about what's going to happen. Most of it is subconscious. We're not even necessarily aware we're doing it until we drag it up and look at it. There's a great term Dr. Dan Siegel says, he's a psychiatrist. He says, if you name it, you can tame it. So the first step, and again, this is just the beginning, is to understand that what are the layers of your fear? What is it you're truly afraid of? Right?
Yes.
So it's always a story. Now, would you like to know, would you listeners, because I'm actually speaking to you also, would you like to know what is the root of all fear?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, give it to us in a simple form. We all want simplicity now.
Okay, great. I've heard a lot of answers which are philosophical. They say fear of the unknown and this and that. For me, it's all philosophical. I'm sharing with you based on supporting hundreds of people eliminate their fears, like literally it's gone, and real practical application. The root of all fear is a fear of physical, emotional pain or suffering or feeling bad, which is all really saying the same thing.
Right.
Everyone is afraid, ultimately, of feeling bad, which makes sense because, again, this is a much more in-depth concept, but everything we do is ultimately to achieve what we call core states, happiness, peace, power, freedom, oneness, etc., feeling good. So what we're afraid of is feeling bad. So, for example, you gave the perfect example. Your true fear is feeling sad and humiliation, shame, right? And by the way, I'll let you know, sadness and shame are two of the big ones.
Yeah.
Even death, people are not afraid of death. You think they'd be afraid of death. What could be worse than that?
Hey, that's a freedom from shame and sadness. So,
well, depending on the person's interpretation. So one person, they think, let's say they might have an atheistic perspective. They're like, you know, it's the end, so I don't have a problem with death. It's the before death, you know, I'll be suffering. That's what I'm afraid of. Or another person says, if I die, you know, I won't be there for my kids. I feel sad that I left them. I feel guilty. So again, it goes into what they're really afraid of is the negative emotion, the shame, sadness, physical or emotional pain, suffering, bad feeling that they might have. And it's amazing. I've never, ever seen an exception. Every single fear goes to the same root. That's what people are afraid of, feeling bad, physical, emotional pain, suffering. And if anyone explores their own fear, they'll find that. Of course, again, sometimes it takes, you know, it could be, I've had people write 3, 4, 5 pages based on one fear of what they think they're going to have, that's going to happen to them. So that's the root. So then the next question becomes, so what's the benefit of fear? What role does fear have? So what does that have to do with fear, right? So fear comes in and says, Fujian, you know, you're going to go and expand and be great. You're going to go on social media and they're going to criticize you and judge you. And you're going to have shame, sadness, humiliation. And then this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And by the way, if we explored every single one of the things that you had said, it's going to end with some physical, emotional pain. So fear comes and says, Fujian, you know what? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make sure you don't experience that pain that you think is going to happen.
Of course.
So what do we do as human beings? We're like, yeah. Oh, that's good. Thank you. I'm going to hire you. So we hire fear. Mm-hmm. We give it our life force and energy to protect us. And if you're seeing this on video, I'm making quotes in the air to protect mm-hmm. us from the pain that we believe we're going to experience.
Right.
Does that make sense? So all fear, like think about fear of height. The person's afraid of heights because they're afraid of falling and hurting themselves. So they stand away so they protect themselves from being hurt.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so we have to fire them now.
it's more than firing because, you know, it's valid to want to feel protected. It's, you know, we all want to survive. We all want to feel safe. So it's a very root desire that we have as human beings. So it's important to honor that desire to be protected.
Yes.
The problem with fear, right? So let's talk about the cost of fear. Fujian, how does it feel? Let's talk about your fear right now. How does it feel? You know, you're afraid of feeling sad, shame, humiliated. But how does it feel to be afraid? Does that feel good or bad?
No, it's very limiting. Very limiting. And it's suffocating.
It feels bad, right?
Yeah.
So you're trying to protect yourself from some bad feeling that you may or may never have because they may not criticize you. If they do, you could handle it. You could brush it off. You could, you know, defend yourself. You may or may never feel that sadness or humiliation. Or if you do, overcome it, get support to overcome it. But you're paying the cost of fear immediately. You're feeling pain guaranteed now to protect yourself from some future possible bad feeling that you may or may never have.
Right. So when you do the cost analysis, it really just doesn't make sense, or it's not beneficial anymore.
So how is it for your health? Wait, let's get into this a little bit. How is it for your health when I or you feel afraid, or anyone? How is it for our health? Is it good or bad?
Well, a lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, muscle twitching, and then, you know, spasm of the muscles, it automatically creates pain, physical pain, which is something that obviously we're trying to avoid about the emotional and physical pain. So the emotional and physical pain gets created here and now immediately.
And it's toxic for our health. We know all negative emotions create toxic chemicals
yes.
in the body, right?
Yes.
Mentally, when we're afraid, are we thinking clearly and logically, or is it distorted thinking to some extent?
Definitely distorted, because none of that, you know, none of that is logical as it shows up. But even if it has a trace of logic and predictability of it happening, the other concept is, so what? You know, it happens, and then you move, you know, what's the worst? I mean, you can be the most important person on the face of the earth at this point, which becomes the president of the United States, and the whole world is going after him. So what? He does whatever he does anyway. I'm not condoning that, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, how else can you get so humiliated and then yet move
right.
on anyway?
Right. So it's all fear is distorted thinking. In my experience, it's pessimistic thinking. It usually, you know, the person says, I'm going to feel ashamed, sad, and they're kind of stuck. That's what they're going to feel, not realizing it's temporary. There's other ways. Spiritually, it's not healthy. As you know, as I like to say, is God afraid? No. So when we're feeling afraid, we're disconnecting or separating ourselves from God or inner essence, the whatever word people want to use. It's spiritually negative.
Right.
And here's beyond that, and everyone can relate to this. So imagine I'm standing in front of a dog, and the dog's growling. Right? And I'm shaking, right? Afraid. Or I'm standing in front of the dog powerfully. In which scenario is the dog more likely to attack me?
When you're afraid and they can see, they can dominate you, definitely.
So yeah. The nature of fear is the very thing we're afraid of, we tend to attract.
Right.
So if I'm driving and I'm nervous about getting in a car crash, it's more likely I'll get in a car crash. Now, I want to be clear about this. That doesn't mean if I'm afraid of dogs, dogs are just going to constantly bite me. It means dogs will come into my life. I'll see a dog. I'll watch a movie. There'll be a dog. I'll hear a dog barking. I'll open a magazine. I'll see a dog. Somehow a dog will come into my life. Why? So that I become, first of all, aware of the fear and I have the opportunity to overcome it. And it happens again and again until I do so.
Right.
So it's really for my benefit, for my higher benefit, that it happens again and again. Right.
So I can get to practice it.
Right. So fear is a form of resistance. It's resisting what could happen. And there's a famous saying, what you resist persists.
Right.
right? The very thing we resist in life, we tend to attract. So here you have, Fujian Zhang, fear makes us feel bad physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It's bad for our results, relationships. It attracts the very thing we don't want. So what kind of protection is that?
None at all.
Right. You know, I don't know if you know, I sometimes do accents. I'm an equal opportunity accent creator. I love all people. I just do accents, just so you know. So fear is like the devil dressed in holy clothing. Says, Fujian, come, I will protect you. Pain you will have. Come to me. I protect you. And in the meantime, right, it's promising heaven, delivering hell. Or it's like, you know, it's like an American CIA agent who comes to you, who's your friend, who is really a double agent traitor, who's really a Russian KGB, who caused so many problems for you, but pretending to be your friend, right, protecting you. Or
so we covered the devil angels and all of the politics and CIA.
Or it's like the mafia. The mafia comes with a bat, says, you know, Dr. Fujian Zane, you are so successful. You give me 20% of all your profits, and I make sure you're safe and protected. Hey, capisce? You understand? Right? So what am I saying? What am I saying if I'm the mafia doing that, right? I'm blackmailing you.
There's a duality that is there that I keep hearing in your conversation. And the duality is that it appears to be holding you in a safety while you pay a huge price of really facing exactly what you didn't want to and under the name that you're being protected. So if you kind of like, you know, take off the drape and really look at what reality is that you can just, if you don't entertain or get sucked into this concept, then you can just live your normal life and move forward and deal with whatever needs to be dealt with versus get conned by the part of you that is trying to tell you, I will protect you, while in the meantime, it's really not. Because whatever you have as a skill to protect you, it's already there, whatever you have.
Right, so I call it the con of the dark side. Now, the part of us that's afraid, I want to say, really does mean to protect us. It's not trying to harm us, per se.
Right.
It just doesn't know better ways.
Better ways. So, now, I want to... actually, there's somebody online, so I want to also be respectful to them. I know you have a lot to say, but since we've asked people to call, I also want to honor the person. So can we go on asking, or is there something else you want to complete with that conversation, and then we go?
Let me complete one other thought, if it's okay.
Tell me.
That's sure. Okay. Person can wait. So the question is, and this is the major part of the process. So how would you like to have effective ways to protect yourself without fear, without any of the negative side effects of fear, that's only positive and effective, no negative side effects?
Nice.
This is the question I ask my students and clients, and everyone says, yeah, of course, yes, right? So this is what we call alternate strategies or alternate effective strategies. Mm-hmm. And there's about like 30, 35, 40, but I just want to give a few for people to take right now because this is really part of the solution and transformation. And so here's a question. Fujian, you know that if you walked into a room and there's an electrical outlet in the wall, if you put your finger deep enough or you put a wire in there, you get shocked, right?
Yeah, yes.
So what do? Do you walk into a room and you're constantly like, oh my God, constantly afraid of electrical sockets?
No, you just don't go in and put your finger in it.
But I don't understand. I thought you have to be afraid or your finger just goes in there. So what happens? How are you protecting yourself then?
By not going and putting your finger in there.
So two things. You have the knowledge. It's probably a good thing to do. So knowledge is one way to protect ourselves. And you choose not to do it from a place of power, not from fear.
Right.
So knowledge is one of the tools you can protect yourself. Choosing. This is a much longer process, so I'll just give a few concepts. When we're driving, you can be careful, peacefully careful, not fearfully careful, because again, if we're fearful, then we might get into a car crash, and not overly careful. So we're careful, we're aware, we use safety measures, we take action, there's faith, right?
Yes.
There's, and we can go on again, the list goes on. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of ways to protect ourselves that are not fear-based, that are far more effective, even in emergencies, right? What does it say in elevators? In case of emergency, panic and freak out. Isn't that what they say?
Of course.
It says, in case of emergency, what? Stay?
Calm.
Calm.
Yeah.
So even in emergencies, these alternatives are more effective in protecting us without the side effects. And again, there's a lot more than what I'm just sharing right now. And they protect us. And if we switch into those, we won't be indifferent and uncaring and reckless, which is the other extreme, nor will we overreact, which is what fear is. It's almost an allergic reaction. It's an overreaction, an over attempt to protect ourselves that's unnecessary.
Got it. Sean, can we have the wonderful caller come in?
Hi, my name is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Very good. Beautiful day in Southern California.
Wonderful. So what's your question?
I have taken Ajahn's classes before, and I heard him talk about fears. And I had a fear of heights, which I overcame my fear of heights taking his seminars before. Yes, amazing. And it has done wonders for my life that I'm doing things that I wasn't able to do before. So my question is, what is the difference between fear and anxiety?
Thank you, John.
Good question. So in my experience, anxiety is disconnected fear. The person is not aware what they're afraid of. It's in their subconscious. They're just not connecting to what it is exactly they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. So this is my
fear has a particular concept that you could attach to, an object that you can attach to, or a concept. But anxiety is this free floating fear that it doesn't attach to something.
Right. So fear is like fear of heights or rejection. Anxiety, the person's afraid of something. They're just not aware what it is. So really, it's having them, you know, go inside, access their subconscious and connect to what they're afraid of. And then we do the same process. We clear it and the anxiety goes away. The fear goes away. The technique works for fear, anxiety, phobia, dread, any kind of, you know, from the most extreme to the smallest, you can get rid of it.
Right. And the essence is the same.
And what I share today is about, you know, one-fifth of the whole process is much more than what I'm saying.
Ajahn, I know there's the seminar Dreamality, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but there, do you also have blogs or newsletters or something that you also talk about these concepts that people can come to maybe your website and connect to and find out? I think your website is dreamality.com, right? Dreamality. It's a combination of dream and reality. Dreamality.com, right?
Dreamality.com, dreamality.com. So instead of reality, it's dreamality. It's living your dreams as your daily reality. So our website definitely has some information. There's radio shows that I've done before. There's a couple of links for radio shows. We just actually came out on social media finally. My students have been telling me for years, go on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Awesome.
And people can find us on Facebook. It's Dreamality, just simply Dreamality, facebook.com/Dreamality. And Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, it's Dreamality Coach.
Awesome.
So basically people can follow us and like us, and we have really powerful transformational seminars, personal coaching. You know, like you, Fujian, I'm really in expansion mode. I've actually experienced some of the things you're saying about issues with expansion and cleared it. And I'm really focused now on really expanding and reaching a lot more people, because what we do is really unique and cutting edge. And it really, there's a place in the world for what we do.
Beautiful. So the Dreamality is how many days? The actual seminar, how many days?
So it's a 9-week seminar. We spread it out once a week for 9 weeks. It's about three and a half hours in the evening. And we spread it out for optimal absorption, so people really have time to absorb it, live it. It's not just, you know, I've done weekend seminars where there's a high and then people forget about it.
I totally agree.
So we spread it out so people really have a time to learn it, live it, absorb it, and then come back for more. And it's part of their lives. My focus is skill creation. It's not just, you know, supporting people have a high. It's really teaching them skills to last a lifetime.
No, I totally agree on that. Sometimes it's hard for people to commit for 9 weeks, and I've noticed that in some of my seminars. But I also think exactly that people will become much more proficient in when they keep practicing and taking into their life, because when they get it in smaller spurts, they go into their life, they experience it, they look at, you know, all of it, and then try to come back and ask questions, and you know, they kind of like get their skills fine-tuned every time they come. So I love that you do it that way. And I know you have a introductory seminar for people. Yes. So that they don't have to just jump in and sign in. They can actually come to an introductory seminar, ask questions, see if this is truly for them, and then go forward. So tell us a little bit about that.
So we have it's a Dreamality introductory seminar. They come and learn powerful skills for their lives that they can immediately use. So I always like to give value, like today on the spot, they take things on the spot. And then it's also an overview of our life enhancing programs. And we actually have a couple coming on right now in the next, this week and next week, Thursday, October 10th and Thursday, October 17th. Check-in is 6:30. It's from 7 to about 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's a $100 value that we're giving as a gift. You're welcome to come with up to 3 guests. We do have very limited spaces in West LA. So if you'd like to come, please make a reservation right away and let us know. People can call us. They can go on our website. Is it okay if I give our phone number?
Oh, please, 310-573-1325, 310-573-1325, or go to dreamality.com. Thank you so much, Ajang, for being on the show. You've done a tremendous job. I know I've talked to people who've come to your seminars. They all rave about it. There have been actually some of my own clients who have come in, and they've come back to my sessions, and they've talked about how much they've learned. So I really firsthand can tell everybody who's listening, definitely I endorse Dreamality, because I've watched people go from my sessions to Dreamality, come back, and I've really seen their strength. So it's been great. 1 minute, Ajang, tell people what you've been holding back, and now you got the 1 minute to really tell them all you want to tell them.
About what?
About their life.
I'll tell you one thing that you said in the beginning, the what if. You said, what if negative, negative, negative? Say, what if I expand and everything works out amazingly? Say that for me, Fujian. Say this.
What if I expand and it's going to be grand and everything is going to be amazingly?
How does that feel?
Really good.
Really. What if is actually a rhetorical question. It's not a real question. It takes us in circles. You never want to follow what if with a negative idea, because then it makes us feel anxious. You want to say, what if positive? Or you can say, what do I do if this happens, and then find a solution? So that's a hint for everyone to take. Don't do what if negative statements. What if positive, or what do I do?
That's awesome.
That's beneficial.
See, we start the show with a hint. We complete the show with the hint. And I really thank you for taking the time to be with us. You know, as you come up with new skills and new techniques and you keep getting expanded, call on, and we're going to, you know, have you back on the show. And for everyone out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.